thanks so much for listening to the Cooligans. Aaron West is here, everybody.
Hey!
So this episode goes off the rails. Wait till you listen to the intro. But first, we talk about Lionel Messi. Had a great season. Michael Olise might be matching it. Is he just as good? Is he the next Messi? Is Inter Miami going to sign him? Then we talk about Liverpool. They're not having a good one. Is it Arne Slot's fault? We talk about that. And actually, it gets a little emotional. Then we talk about FIFA. Oh, my God. If you bought tickets to a club, to a World Cup match, you're feeling like a Liverpool season ticket holder right now. What is going on? Why am I here? Also,
yeah, we talk U.S. men's national team. We're going to pull on our men's national team coach hat. Patrick Adjumain has unfortunately gotten injured. Who's going to replace him?
Wait till you hear who I got to say that and more today on the Cooligans!
I think I mentioned this to you already, but my wife's birthday is on Sunday, and I will not be here. Yeah.
You got to make up for that, brother.
Your boy's in trouble. originally, she said she was cool with it, because I'm filming something on the 13th, and she's like, whatever, that's the day after my birthday. I don't care. I was like, great. And they're like, you're flying out on the 12th. I'm like, I told her, I said, I'm flying out the day before. She's like, that's fine. I think she thought I meant red eye.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's like, you're leaving at night. And I was like, oh, no, I'm leaving midday. And she goes, she did the pouty face. She goes, oh, my birthday? You know, she did that thing where the voice goes up.
I'm like,
when did you become a cartoon character? And now I'm in trouble now. And there's nothing I can do. Yeah. There's no way to fix this.
No, you can, like, if fixing it is here, you can get to here.
Yeah, you got to eat the mic a little bit.
You got to eat a lot of work to get to there.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean. You know what I mean? You ever go up those stairs where they're just like a little bit taller than your average step and you're like this.
You trip a little bit on
Yeah, this isn't code. This isn't to code. Right. Those are the steps I'm on right now.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah. For those of you who've ever
What's step one?
Yeah. What step one? Eating ass. I think it's step one. Yeah. No, you got to get in there. You got to.
Imagine, like, got comfortable and, like, start looking at you.
You know what happened? Christian and I are going to host the next Fan Fest, which is really cool. I don't know if we know that. I don't know if we announced that. But a very nice young woman, thank you. A very nice young woman came up to me and goes, oh, my God, I knew I recognized your voices. And I was like, oh, where did you hear us? I did BoJack Horseman, you know? I'm like, where? And she goes, my dad also used to listen to you guys in the car whenever he was driving me to school. And I was like, yo, first of all, made me feel wild old.
Yeah.
Two, why would he do that?
Like, what kind of parent is letting their child listen to you guys on the way to school?
This happened multiple times. A child came up to me who was like 12 years old, and they were like, are you the Cooligans? And I said, yeah, but how do you know that?
Right.
It's like, yo, my dad loves
you.
You're
not my target audience.
We've explicitly asked you not to listen. And he's like, my dad listens to the show. Right. And the dad's with them. I said, yo, what are you doing?
You start feeling like a rapper. Yeah. Like, no, why, no, you can't listen to me.
I ain't a role model, you know? Here, hold my chain real quick. Hold my chain real quick while I talk to your dad. But I was like, why are you doing that? And the dad's like, he doesn't really understand some of the stuff you guys talk about anyway. Mm. He's like, but he does repeat some things you guys say from time to time.
I'm like, worse.
This is what I mean.
Arguably worse.
Yeah. To not understand
like,
and to repeat
the
it. Yeah. You ever see like those cute videos of little kids who are like, get the fuck away from me. And everyone's like laughing because the kid doesn't know what he's saying,
right,
but he's copying somebody. You know what I mean? Don't let it be me. Please don't let your child copy what I'm doing. That's the worst thing you could possibly do.
That.
So I felt terrible, but. Yeah, man, you got to get in there and toss some salad.
What's step two, brother?
Wash your mouth and then brush your teeth. I think is step
logical
two.
Step.
Yeah. We're trying to keep
logical
it all.
Step, bro.
No, step two is buy something really nice. Buy something a little nicer than you thought you would have to buy for this B-Day.
Yeah.
And I think there might be, she doesn't listen to the show audio-wise. She watches YouTube, so this doesn't end up on the YouTube. Obviously, I just said eating ass. Our sponsors are going to love that. our sponsors are going to love this. But they
haven't canceled you by now.
No,
bro.
Not yet. Sure. By the way, step three is wash it out with a beautiful Smirnoff Ice. but I think what I have to do is set up like a surprise.
I didn't see there's ices here, by the way. Do people get iced around here? Is that a thing?
Only if you don't have your papers. Do you get the joke? All right, folks. If you can't tell, Christian's not here today. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only Aaron West is my co-host for today. If you might have swerved your car during that intro, I apologize. We're having fun. Christian's not here. The bumpers are off. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
And of course,
Dad's not around.
Yeah. Sorry, Dad's not around. We can do whatever we want.
Drunk uncle to do the show with you.
100%. I'm betting the kids to jump off the roof into the pool. It's like, who cares? Your dad's got health insurance.
Casts are cheap.
Yeah. You'll be all right.
You'll be a badass.
Look at me. I'm good. Here, smoke this Marlboro. All right, man. We got a lot in store for you. Christian's not here, but it's still a hot show. Right? And I'm still excited. See, guys, I do it every once in a while. I'll say those corny things that they make us say, you know? I'm excited for today's show, but I actually am, because me and Aaron, man, we haven't done an episode in a minute.
They wouldn't let us on the desk anymore.
They did once.
Once.
And that was it. Yeah. Actually, Susanna broke character and was like, could the two of you just shut up for once?
She genuinely was like, yo, can y'all shut up?
Yeah, like live on air. Me and him are just dapping each other up in the corner. It was a fun episode for me. But Susanna,
I also enjoyed myself.
Yeah, Susanna was having a rough one that day. But whatever, none of us are there except you. So enjoy. And I hope everyone who works there that I enjoyed spending time with is doing okay. But also, quick note, don't ever meet your heroes. turns out they're pricks. What made them good in sports don't make them great human beings, turns out. We got a lot to talk about. Champions League has been crazy.
It's hard as hell. So I'm
It took me forever to figure out what that was. Russell Westbrook. That's his logo.
I was staring at it trying to figure it out.
Yeah,
too,
yeah.
But, all right.
You know what? I met a guy who works at Nike, and that's how I figured out what it was. Because it's really hard to search for what the logo of my jacket is. But your jacket's also nice. I have the same one. I almost wore it today. But why don't we get the show started? Why don't we talk a little bit about Champions League, huh? Lionel Messi's 2011-2012 season was absolutely historical. 29 assists across all competition. If I told you that someone was on the precipice of beating that record, you'd probably think I'm talking about Lamine Yamal or Vitinha. Nope. What if I told you Michael Olise, Bundesliga, Bayern Munich's Michael Olise, is two assists away from beating that record? Is Michael Olise low-key the best winger in the world right now?
This is the top topic.
Bro, I genuinely think Arnaud King might be him. Like, Lamine Yamal has to be in the conversation, but if you look at the eye test, if you look at the numbers, if you look at how Bayern is performing domestically in Europe, Michael Olise is him right now.
And that's the thing that gets me, right? The conversation, I feel like, needs a bit of an asterisk, because Bayern is such a monolith within Bundesliga that it's almost like, man, I don't know. But that's not his fault.
Does it count?
Like, yeah. That's not his fault, right? Yo, you got to play the game play the team that's in front of you. And they look really good. In fact, they just broke a record, right? They hadn't won at Bernabeu in, what, something like 20-something years?
It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
I'm
so
terrible with stats, so I just...
Me too.
Like, yeah, if you sound about right.
Yeah, if that ends up here, you'll see it. But this is you can see his own competitions. He's played 41 games. He has 16 goals, 27 assists.
It's actually ridiculous. Like, some of the passes he makes... I love the way he dribbles too, because he'll just do some wild shit, like literally turn in a circle in front of you.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
No, you're not going to take the ball.
You're just not going to do it. It's so funny to think he came from Crystal Palace, where he showed glimpses of this, but you see what happens when you take a really good player and put him in a system that's incredibly good.
Crystal Palace had Eberche Eze and Michael Olise at the same time. Like, what sense does that make?
Bro, it's absolutely insane. Even Mateta was looking good.
What are you doing?
How is that? But at least they won a trophy, finally. Yeah, but they could have won a lot more. It goes to show how difficult the Premier League is on a week-in, week-out basis. But when I look at Messi, all right, here's the arguments against Olise, right? Oh, he's in a system. He's in the best team in the world, or the best team in his league. His coach has a system that benefits him. Messi had all of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, granted, yes, there was a Real Madrid, and maybe Bayern isn't exactly, or I should say Borussia Dortmund isn't exactly a Real to Messi's Barca. But at the end of the day, Messi had a system that benefited him the most.
Yeah.
He had a team that was built around him. He was a superstar, but also he had a bunch of incredible players to pass through, just like Olise does. You still have to go out there and get those stats, and they're doing it in Champions League.
And to that point, if it was that easy in Bundesliga, he would be breaking a Bundesliga player's record.
Yeah.
So it can't be that easy.
Right. I mean, look at it here, right? 60 matches, 41. 73 goals, 16. Damn.
Absurd.
73 is a crazy number. That's such a crazy number to see on camera.
Ronaldo and Messi broke football.
Talk more than that,
Mike. They broke football so much for like a decade.
The numbers just don't matter.
If you look at everyone else's numbers, they're kind of like, oh man, Lewandowski is scoring a ton of goals. That's crazy. Oh, that's wild. And then you look up at the Messi and Ronaldo numbers. Like, what are these? Okay. You know how they confirm there's aliens?
Yeah. Come one on, of them man. Got a, there's got to be some alien blood. Come in on, man. That means aliens are tiny, by the way. I'm not scared of them no more. 29 assists for 27. I mean, the thing about Olise, right? And the French call him Olise. That's how you pronounce his name. But we say Olise. I pick whichever one you want, just in case there's someone in our mentions right now saying, oh, it should be Olise. You know, I don't know how you type that out.
<That's all.
laughs> How do you type that out? But when I look at him, he's not the first player I would think of on like a right wing to build a club around. I still feel like Lamine Yamal would be the guy. Now, what does Lamine Yamal have? I believe 8 in La Liga, 8 assists, if I'm not mistaken. I should have looked that up before I said that. But when I look at it, to me, like Messi was still like this incredible player that we saw do incredible things. Michael Olise is like sneakily all of a sudden in this conversation. We all knew he was a really good player, but elite was a tough thing for me to say about Michael Olise until this year.
I think he made the real, I think he started to make the jump last year, and it was like, okay, we see the levels he can hit. And then this year, because he's doing it so regularly, it feels like, okay, he really is that player. It wasn't just a flash in the pan. We're seeing it consistently over and over and over again, and he really is incredible quality, and the consistency is another level right now.
That's the thing, especially when you play in Vincent Kompany's system, which, you know, I remember people laughing at Bayern for, because I, what was it, 3 or 4 managers said no. Xabi Alonso very famously said no to them. And then they got to Vincent Kompany, who had just gotten relegated with Burnley. Yeah. Right. And now I look at his
shout
system.
Shout out to Burnley, by
the way. Shout out to Burnley. Don't ever want to go there, but it's a beautiful place. I see their system now, and I think, why were you trying to do this with Burnley players? Them wanting the boys to do this, you know what I mean?
Trying to play like beautiful, flowing football with the boys from Burnley.
Yeah, I'm like, I was doing a bunch of research on Vincent Kompany towards the beginning of the season, and he gave an interview where he basically said, like, positions don't matter, right? He only has positions because you want to be standing in certain areas of the pitch. Players need to be comfortable, like defenders need to be comfortable up top. Forwards need to be comfortable as defenders because that's what the game precipitates. And I'm like thinking, like, yeah, you've got, you know, whatever, Kimmich and, you know, Harry Kane and Olise and Luis Diaz. Yes. I can't even tell you them boys from Burnley. Those weren't the guys to do that. I look at this now and
just
I think,
just make up a really English name.
Yeah. Danny Drink.
Brentholate.
Yeah, 100%. Gates opener. you know? But I look at this and I'm like, these were the type of players that you see a system like Vincent Kompany shine. Yeah. And when you see the way he plays where, you know, he uses Harry Kane to go as pretty much as far back as almost where the defensive midfielder would stand to check and get the ball. If that pulls a defender out, now your wingers are suddenly open. It'd be a dream to play for him if you were Michael Olise. And it gets me wondering, would a different player benefit the same from being in that system? Would we see, I'm thinking of like a Mitoma, right? Mm. Over at Brighton. Would someone like him benefit just the same? Would we see him reach this next level?
I struggle to wonder if that's the case. I think the system really benefits Olise because it's not built around him, but he's perfect for it. But he's also the type of talent that we saw at Crystal Palace. He was fantastic there. He's fantastic for Bayern. He's fantastic for France. I don't know if you put Serge Gnabry there, if he's doing the same. So,
good point.
So I think I do give Vincent Kompany a ton of credit because the way this Bayern team plays right now is incredible, and he's sorted out like a lot of their issues. But also, Michael Olise deserves all the plaudits.
I'm going to ask you a question that is kind of throwing you under the bus. You and I have something in common, right? Besides the fact that we're both black dudes from North Carolina, is we're both Arsenal fans. Bukayo Saka is not having a tremendous run right now. Would you rather have Michael Olise or Bukayo Saka?
I love Bukayo because he's Arsenal hail in. But if we're talking football only, I would take Olise because Olise is at another level right now. Saka's right now is struggling with injury. I think he's struggling with the weight of everything that's been kind of thrown on him the last few years, having to play more than any other Arsenal player should. But on form, it's Olise. We're talking about heart. I'm keeping Saka every single day. But if I'm like football brain right now, it's probably Olise.
Especially for the next run of a few matches where we kind of need to keep winning in order to win the league. The way I'm going to look at this and say, right now, I feel like the system that Mikel Arteta is, where the system is right now doesn't seem to benefit Bukayo Saka as much as Vincent Kompany's system seems to benefit Olise. It feels like there's a lot more pressure being put on Bukayo Saka to pretty much control what happens in the final third in a way where I was hoping Eze and Odegaard, a mixture of those two, would pull that pressure off of. But for some reason, all of our attack seems to want to come from the right wing, which is really frustrating when we have a guy in Jokeres who can benefit from a central pass.
I wish we could just clone Madueke and make him right-footed to play on the left.
I wish.
Because he's brilliant. He's been,
just play him there anyway. I want Martinelli off this club. I don't know why we're talking about Arsenal. But I just want Martinelli gone. I said, send him to a favela. Remind him. All right, this is what happens if you don't play well, dog. This is where you're going to end up. All right?
You just got to play in the Champions League anthem before every game, dude.
You know what I want? Remember you they were talking about getting your pieces and players so the coach could talk to him? I say, we need to cha-cha in his ear at all time. Right? Just remember, dog. You're Brazilian, dog. Why are you playing this way? Joga bonito, not this. But long story short, I still think I would probably still go with Bukayo Saka, mainly because, yes, there's heart and there's a bunch of stuff there. But I don't know that Olise, if being put under the pressure that Bukayo Saka is, I don't think we see the same flourish.
That is a good point. That is a good point. Like, if you subjected Michael Olise to the same treatment Saka was subjected to when he
we're talking about like he's being punished. How dare you treat him this way, Arteta?
The beatings will continue until morale improves.
Let us know what you guys think. Shoot us a comment or two. Let us know what you think of Michael Olise. Obviously have an incredible run, probably not the greatest winger in the world right now, unless you think he is. Let us know in the comments. Zero shots on target in a Champions League game. Liverpool looks so bad and so inconsistent this season. What is going on? Why has Arne Slot gotten it so wrong this year? Let's talk a little bit about Liverpool, because this is not good. You don't want to be embarrassed on a Champions League night.
Yeah, it's a crazy mix of circumstances with this Liverpool team that it is all combined to make them god awful this season.
So bad.
Yeah.
And I mean, the list of players, first of all, I don't know why you go out and get two strikers. And Isak, has his injury woes, and maybe it's good that you went and got two, but you didn't need Isak. You could have went with Ikitike the whole way. Mohamed Salah, you have definitely not gotten the best out of him this season. Remember last year where Gravenberch all of a sudden looked like a they've brought someone in. It looked like a $50 million signing or £50 million signing. This year, there's no one that has ticked up. There's no one that has come to mind that has been like, this has been our system. People blame.
Szoboszlai is the only one I would say for that team.
Yes, that's a good point. Szoboszlai, the only one. Yeah. Mostly free kicks. He actually has been a great player. He's been a great player. Szoboszlai absolutely has. But it hasn't been enough. And I'm trying to figure out if Arne Slot last year, and I did say that he would be an advancement on what Jurgen Klopp did, because it felt like gegenpressing had its time. Mm. It had its era. People were starting to figure out different ways of minimizing its effectiveness. Arne Slot would be an advance on that. And I think he was, right? You go out and you win the league, you pretty much run away with the league.
Yeah.
This year, wildly inconsistent, and if it wasn't for the Premier League having five teams now in the Champions League, there's a chance that Liverpool wouldn't even make it into the Champions League next year if they keep playing this way. And then when you go to the Champions League, you can think to yourself, okay, we're having a bad year in the Premier League. We can shine in the Champions League. Teams aren't sitting in low blocks. Mm. Most teams, especially not at this point. They're giving you the space. This is where Premier League teams can shine, because you're not going up against the Wolves and you're not going against, you know, the Evertons, although they're doing really well, where they will be compact. You do get space. You can show how good you are. And against PSG, a team that everyone says plays in a Farmers League and doesn't have their superstars anymore, so on and so forth. Chelsea beat them in Club World Cup. And now you see this. Dude, they have the absolute body. They made Liverpool look like pedestrian.
Yeah. Let's start from, I think, the Liverpool perspective, because it's a really weird, wild mix. I think you almost always get the drop off after you win a league, because motivations change. All of them are human. And to that human point, I know we cannot ignore it. We cannot ignore the fact that they had a teammate pass away.
Yes.
Diogo Jota at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
personally, I think that's severely affected a lot of their motivation. Like, some of their, I think Salah talked about it, like how difficult it is to come to the training ground every single day. Motivations are different. I think there's like a dark cloud over Liverpool right now, which is, it's a human circumstance that you, no one can change.
Right.
No,
especially one, football clubs are different than I think any other team sport in the world. And not to say that if you played in the NFL, it wouldn't affect, of course it would, right. But there's something about like the unity and like the family, yeah, that they talk about it. There's, you know, I don't think any NFL team wants to win the Super Bowl because of the receptionist,
right,
or because of the team story. You know what I mean? You want to win it because you want to win it.
Right.
There's something about a football club when they talk about it that it really does feel like we're all lifting each other up, and yeah, losing a player, or losing a teammate in the way they did, absolutely horrific. Maybe I'm a bit of a sociopath because I tend to forget about how much it can affect. Maybe we, also I'm not
I,
there.
I don't think it's just you, though. I think genuinely we all, as football fans, people talking about the game, I think we forgot that happened.
Yeah.
Like, we're kind of brushing past it. We're like, oh, tough season. No, like, someone passed away.
Yeah.
They have to walk tragically. Tragically, not just like, yeah, a natural occurrence. They have to walk into a locker room every single day. If you've ever lost someone,
yeah,
things remind you all the time.
Yeah.
Imagine walking to a locker room, your locker's right next to Jota. Would you care about training? Would you care about playing a game? I'm not saying that's an excuse and that is the reason they've been bad, but it is one part of, I think, a many. They won the league, motivations immediately dropped.
Right.
They lose a teammate. And then you bring in a raft of guys that were not there.
Yeah.
These are new guys you bring in.
That's a good point, actually. You don't think about that.
Ekitike, Vert, Frimpong, Kerkez,
yeah,
who are coming to take your job.
Yeah.
Like, these are new guys they brought in that weren't there with Diogo Jota. They weren't there for the league win.
Right.
They're coming to take your job. Have you seen the video of Szoboszlai, Verts, those guys reading their, like, EAFC ratings?
No.
There's a video of Szoboszlai sitting behind Florian Verts. Verts is like reading out his ratings. He's like, oh, 89, very good. And he's like, oh, like some whatever his pace is. And Szoboszlai is behind him, like muttering. He's like, oh, we have the same pace. Szoboszlai is rated like 82 in the game.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, he just won the league.
Yeah.
Rated like 82. So he's already pissed off. He first says another attribute. He's like, we have the same physical. Szoboszlai is pissed off in the background. Turns it around. He's like, oh, good picture, handsome. And that's when Szoboszlai's like, yeah, exactly, bro, that's it. That's it.
Snaps his in half. I am so much prettier than him.
I think there's, saying all that to say, I don't think there's any team unity. I don't think there's any togetherness. I don't think there's any desire to fight for each other.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's like really a unit there. So, and that's, players then get
that's
old.
That's on the coach. And you can't, a player passing away tragically is not on the coach, right?
Yes. That part, slot has to do better.
Yeah.
I think that's the other thing is, first year, he kind of was like, this is Klopp's thing. Let me not just ruin it.
We're seeing here, this is the Optijo stat. 0.17. Good Liverpool's Lord. 0.17 XG tonight.
Yeah.
Was their lowest tally in all competitions under Arne Slot. In fact, their two lowest attacking XG performances across 105 matches since Slot took charge have both been recorded away to Paris Saint-Germain.
I think the further we get away from Klopp's Liverpool, we're getting closer to Slot's Liverpool. And I don't think Slot's Liverpool is the one that Liverpool supporters want to see.
I think that's a great point. I think that's something that when you look at what Slot was able to do, it papered over some of the issues, right?
Because it's like, oh, a little tweak here, a little tweak there. We'll be all
right. We have a Liverpool fan in the room, right? And she is, furious, right? but she hates it. But she did make a good point, which is like, maybe Slot's not the right guy to build the team. But when they brought in Michael Anderson, I believe his name is?
Michael Edwards,
who helped build it. He was the guy who, if it wasn't for him, they would have gone out and Jurgen Klopp would have signed Julian Brandt instead of Mohamed Salah, which now we see, again, Salah failed in the Premier League. And you know how Premier League fans are. If you fail once, God forbid, right? But he came back, at one point was considered the best player in the world when he was wearing a Liverpool shirt, right? Won the league, won Champions League. Incredible player. Michael Alexander, what's his name again?
Edwards.
Jesus Christ. I've given him every other name. It's two white first names. You just can't. You can't do this. Give me an O. Give me a Fitz. Give me something. Help me out here. Michael Edwards. Michael Edwards, I know this guy. I've read about him. Michael Edwards comes in, and then the Ikitike and Isak, and the Isak signing was like super late, and they overpaid. That to me was like, there's no X anything. There's no saber metrics. There's no money ball happening here whatsoever.
Good.
Yeah, they're like, get a body in here, bro. I don't care how much we have to pay. And it just doesn't seem that to me already set this season up to be not a failure, but like a little bit off the rails.
Yeah.
To see the season that Arsenal and City have been able to have, neither one of them the most consistent in the world, City in particular, but they seem to be bringing on late once again. Same script for three out of the last 4 years. You see that, and it makes what Liverpool is doing look so much more glaringly bad, especially when Everton and I forget who else. Everton is like an eighth. You know what I mean? They have a shot at possibly finishing in a Champions League spot. It makes all of a sudden Liverpool's season look glaringly bad. Now, look, I can go back and say, yo, you had a player who I just saw post that the last text that because Diogo Jota had just gotten married before he passed away. The last text his wife sent, when you come home, let me know. We just got, because they had just gotten their wedding video. She had just watched her wedding video and he hadn't seen it yet. Never made it home. When you think of the magnitude and what they must have gone through, it certainly helps me look at it and go, okay, you don't necessarily get a pass because no one ever gets a pass in life. But I can put an asterisk on your season and say, okay, this is why it hasn't been consistent. But when you take that away and you just look at what Arne Slot's been able to do, I think it's fair to put a little bit of blame on Arne Slot. Not enough where I would say that he loses his job at the end of the season unless Xabi Alonso wants to be your coach.
Bro, Xabi Alonso is sitting in the rafters like Sting. just waiting like, brother, you know it's time.
it's the one wrestling reference I actually get because I've seen the meme a million times. If Xabi Alonso calls, the LeBron James, one of the owners, and says, yo, I'm ready. Arne Slot's gone, right?
Yeah.
Got to make that move.
If he says he wants it, I firmly believe that that is his job. Arne Slot made, I think, one, aside from a few other mistakes, one huge tactical mistake. And I mean, and honestly, we could probably blame Michael Edwards for this, for bringing in Florian Wirtz. You pay $140 million, whatever it is, for a player like that. He has to start. He has to play. But he unbalances their team. Liverpool.
That's Arne's fault, man. He looked good, bro. He looked good.
Here's the question for me. Like, was Arne told, like, you have to play this guy because we paid so much money for him? Wirtz doesn't fit to me. He's not a pure winger, so he's not going to stretch the field for you.
He wants to tuck in.
He wants to tuck in. And the midfield three that Liverpool played before was protection. Gravenberch just sat in front of Konate and Virgil van Dijk and said, I'm going to clean up everything. We know our fullbacks are going to push up. That's what they do. But we will have these three chilling. Now they play with two midfielders in front of the back four, and both of them have license to get forward. No one really sits and just patrols. And the fullbacks they have now, even if Trent Alexander-Arnold was not great defensively, the way that he played, at least he would tuck in. And there was a little bit of I would say,
there was an
organization
additional,
in that.
There was an additional defensive mind in the midfield.
And even though he wasn't a good defender, there was the setup was a little bit different. And he gave you ball progression that no other player in that team could
and
give.
And he was your overload. Right. So people were freaking out. Who covers him?
So even though you had to protect him and like cover for him, he was such a big benefit. It was worth it. Frimpong is not the same. He's not. It's the areas he likes to take up.
He stays
are not
on
the same.
Wing.
He stays on the wing. He doesn't give you the same benefit.
Yeah.
So you're covering for him on that side. On the other side, it's a dude who sometimes can turn his brain on
Kirkez
and sometimes looks like he has never played football before.
He has some wild bloopers, bro.
It's crazy. And it is ridiculous. Like, you're going from prime Trent Alexander-Arnold to two guys who are not those guys.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of change, a bunch of drop-offs, and just too much change and too much drop off, and that's what Liverpool is right now.
So I think the advancement on the gegenpressing and all that is relationism, right? And that's clearly what Xabi Alonso did, and that's what made Florian Wirtz shine. Mm. So if you paid that much money for Florian Wirtz, you bring in Xabi Alonso.
You give him the guy that made him go undefeated in the season.
You fix it all, right? You
100%.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
To me, you fix it all. So
Arne Slot at Liverpool to start of next season.
I may be able to look at Arne Slot and say it's right that you got fired because of Xabi Alonso coming is much more coming to the team is a much more obvious choice.
Hey, yo.
We need to hit a pause button. But whatchamacallit. So I get it, right? Xabi Alonso being available kind of means the fact that you didn't have a great season is enough for me to say, Arnold Slot,
yeah,
you're not fully at
it's
fault,
time, brother.
But it's time for a go.
It's time.
Let's say you went to a Mercedes-Benz dealership and you gave the salesperson the money for a Mercedes. And when you got your car, it was a Kia. That's what FIFA is doing to you if you're buying tickets to the World Cup. Aaron, let's talk a little bit about this because I'm sure you've seen the alerts, people freaking out. If you bought tickets, all of a sudden the maps are gone from FIFA's website.
Yep.
All of the categories you thought you purchased in, nah, they're changing them up. They've added a new front row or, I guess, closer.
Violent.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, the number they're charging is crazy.
It's already crazy. Christian and then you go and do that.
Christian and I literally bought two of the worst seats in the house. I mean, you can't get any worse. You know what I mean? I think I'm an employee.
I mean, maybe they could. They might That's kick you saying. Out of the stadium, bro.
Bro, deadass, I think they might put me in front of a TV screen. There you go. There you go.
You're going
to
be stinging the rafters.
Thanks to the $1,500. I think I'm actually sitting behind the screen.
Yeah,
so I don't know what I'm going to see. I think I'm going to have to stream it from my phone.
You're
going
to have to film it yourself. Yeah. Bro.
By the way, Wi-Fi at the stadium costs $75,000. I don't know if you know that, per game. You have to pay in euros. All of a sudden, there's additional, like, whatever ticket you bought may not necessarily be what you thought you were buying. Yeah. This is, I mean, there's so much icing on this cake. I don't even see the cake anymore. This is the next thing that's on top of what is already kind of a calamitous World Cup. Yeah. We talked about it before we started recording. 2 months in, really no one even knows what's happening yet. No one, I mean, for the world we live in, right? We deal with brands that want to do activations and events. Everything's in pencil. Right. No one knows what's happening.
None of the brands know what's going on.
We were hearing numbers like, yo, they're going to go spend this much on an event. Oh, cool. I can't wait to be there. Now it's this much. And I think part of this, and we're seeing some of The Athletic, obviously, hard not to feel scammed is the first thing. For someone who works in this business, I'm sure you'll get this too. People are asking us what's going on.
Right.
We have no clue what's going on. This feels like the biggest pump and dump, the biggest cash grab. And it sucks because I just think about how important the games are going to feel when they're going on. And we're going to forget about all this. And I feel like this really shouldn't be forgotten.
It's the Trumpification of America and of FIFA.
Thank you for saying it.
Look at Gianni Infantino giving this man the peace prize. That's
hilarious.
What all this is.
Yeah. We were hosting the Times Square version of the draw.
Yeah.
They only did one other event outside the draw. It was the Times Square, and we were hosting it. And they were like, hey, whenever the production's on, don't say anything. When he's giving the Peace Award speech, I was like, someone came up to me and said, hey, the short pitch is ready to go. If anybody wants to watch the games, can you make an announcement? I was like, I'm not really supposed to. Yeah, no, I'll make an announcement. I was like, hey, I'm sorry to interrupt this super important award. And everyone started laughing. And the guy from, I won't say what organization, he was like, thanks for not saying it, but saying it. You know what I mean? Like, thank you for saying it without saying
right.
it. That to me was like such a silly moment. And it's embarrassing because I have friends from Europe that are coming here.
Yeah.
And they're getting apartments in Hoboken and Queens. And they're setting up and they're like, yo, what's going on? Is this going to happen? Are we even going to be able to go? Is credentials, media credentials are like being denied left and right. We got denied media credentials.
Right.
It's like, dude, I have no clue what's going on. And now the one person you hope doesn't get screwed out of this is the kid that's going to see their first ever World Cup game. Unless your dad owns, you know, Oracle, I don't think you're going to be able to watch this thing.
Yeah, unless you go to a private school, you're probably not going to be in the stands.
Bro, the worst people you've ever met are going to go to these games.
And you know the byproduct that no one at the very, very top thinks about it? The atmosphere for these games.
It's going to be trash.
It's going to be terrible.
It's going to be the Bernabeu.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of guys. Is this when we clap?
Yeah, are we yeah, supposed- yeah. Tell me when.
Is this it?
Now. Yeah. Did we win yet? Can we go home?
A bunch of college shirts under jerseys.
100%. It's gonna be, oh, God. They're all going to be wearing vests with their finance group. This is Henry Bushnell tweeted this. He said, no, and seriously, FIFA has now created an extra ticket category to sell front row World Cup seats. By the way, front in quotes, because you never know. That could be mean fifth row. World Cup seats for double the price of Category 1, which were insane, by the way, which supposedly would have yielded you front row seats in the past. So if you spent, I saw upwards of $25,000 a ticket for Category 1. Imagine doing that, and there's a dude in front of you with a big hat. I'd be furious.
Bro.
If Erica Badu sat in front of me.
Imagine you're in, like,
I'd be furious, bro.
Imagine you're in an obstructive view, like you're behind a pillar, and you paid
20,000?
20,000, bro. I could have gotten a used Honda.
You remember you were talking about you buy a Mercedes and end up with a Kia?
Yeah.
Like, you would have to sell your Kia for the tickets.
100%.
It's insane.
This is wealth. And what sucks is there's a bunch of people who can't afford this and will still go and won't know what's happening on the pitch and will still cheer. They'll still get the cocktail. It's starting to feel like U.S. Open. You know what I mean? It's starting to feel like that. Like, it's the status of saying you went is more important than
100%.
And you talked about atmosphere. I'm lucky enough where the first ever professional match I ever saw was Ireland versus Italy in the 94 World Cup.
Wow.
I was a kid. I couldn't afford to go. My mom was like, you ain't going. Watch it on TV. I wanted to love soccer. I didn't know what was going on. There's a family, an Irish family, that was like the whole family played soccer. They were like coaches, the mom and the dad. They were coaches. All the kids played. They all went to college for soccer. There was a soccer mad family. I used to hang out with them because there was the only place I could really watch soccer other than my Portuguese friends in the Ironbound. So one of the kids got sick and couldn't go to a game. This woman knew that I love soccer so much. She called my mom and said, hey, we have an extra ticket. Do you want to go? My mom's like, I can't afford that. And she's like, we already paid for it. It's not going to go to anyone. Might as well bring somebody who enjoys it. I got to sit there.
The most
there.
Latino thing to ever be said, by the way. Yeah. I can't afford that.
I can't afford it. No number was said, by the way. No number was said. Like, nope. I ain't going, no. There's white lady. I don't want no favor. You know? No, por favor. You know, my mother sent me with a sandwich, by the way. And they're like, we're going to buy you a burger. And she's like, no. He has a sandwich. It has pork.
Meanwhile, you're in the back.
Yeah. I'm watching them eat McDonald's. I'm eating a chuleta in between two pieces of Cuban bread. I'm just like, please give me the French fries. I didn't get a toy in this. You know,
this is
there's
not
a
traumatic memory at all.
No. There's a photo of my mother holding a flip-flop. Like, don't you dare. Yeah. Don't you dare say yes to anything. Don't ask for water. You come home, you drink. Don't use the bathroom. That was my mother's. I swear to God, my mother said that. If they give you water, say no. You don't drink water. You want nothing. Don't ask for anything. We're not we're not an inconvenience to the white people, right? Because they're going to send us back. That's 100% true. And I was
just
like, I'm a
little
kid.
30 years ahead of time, basically.
She was 100% right. She's like, in the future, there's this thing called ice. It's not just for your drink. But basically, I remember going to the game and I remember sitting there watching. And I'd never been to an event where so many people cared so much about what was happening. And to see all the fans were mixed, you know, like the U.S. had no idea that like maybe we should separate the fans. And by the way, World Cup generally is like a much more lively, spirited event where it's not like there's really no ultras or violence. Like everyone's having a good time, nations all dancing together. And to see the Italians and the Irish kind of having just a good time. And then obviously, like when we left, it got really somber because I think there was a bombing in Ireland that happened right after that. But I was a little kid. I had no idea. I'm like, why's everyone sad? We were just partying. But in that moment, I realized, like, this is the sport for me. Who's going to have that moment? Some kid who also has a pony? You know what I mean? Like, who's going to have that moment? Who's going to have that moment, you know?
Just a bunch of kids driving around in mini Aston Martin.
Yeah, like, yeah.
What a game that was.
Yeah. Wow, I couldn't see it through the ice in my watch. You know, these little kids. Like, to me, it's like, and it's not to say that rich people shouldn't also be allowed to go to the game, but when the entire stadium has been priced out of your average fan, you lose something that's the core of this. And I think back to how much we were all worried about Qatar and what that World Cup was going to be like. And when people started coming back, like, a lot of those worries had diminished, and some of them shouldn't have, but a lot of the worries were like, here's what I saw. I saw nations partying together. I saw people, all the stadiums were relatively close. There was this like camaraderie that was built by all the people that were there. I don't know that we're going to get that in this.
You know what we're going to see? Half empty stadiums.
That better not be the case.
It's going to happen, especially for some of these less quote unquote smaller countries in the group stage. They're going to have to do some creative TV angles. I promise you will see empty seats in those stadiums.
Why didn't they move them to MLS stadiums? Like a smaller soccer specific stadium?
Because nothing these people do is logical. If it's logical, they're going to do the opposite probably.
That's a good idea. Let's not do it. Yeah.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
We'll never do that shit. We'll wipe that off the brainstorming board. I don't want anyone to know we had a good idea.
Fire that guy.
Yeah, get him out of here. What is he, worried about stuff? No, we're here to make money. It worries me to the point where I'm like, I don't know what else is going to happen, but I'm guaranteeing something else is going to come up. Mm-hmm. Someone else is going to get screwed out of their tickets.
Yep.
Christian and I found a way to purchase the worst seats in the house for a semifinal. I wouldn't be shocked if all of a sudden they're like, hey, actually, your ticket's not the semifinal. It's for the third group match. You know what I mean?
And we haven't even come close to hinting at the elephant in the room, is that this country has a problem with guns.
Yeah.
And we're going to be hosting a whole bunch of sporting events where people don't like foreigners.
Yeah.
So that's a worry.
Well, this is why Birmingham.
Nobody's saying it out loud, yeah, yeah, but it's a worry.
This is why Birmingham, Alabama didn't make it to the list of hosts.
Yeah, probably.
Actually, Birmingham's actually a cool town. So, what surrounds it's not so great. But as for that, I know Alabama's dope. I drove through it. But yeah, they're not the most welcoming. I drove, by the way, sped the whole way. I said, if a cop stops me, good enough for me. You know what I mean? I'd rather that than a local.
I know it's dope. I drove through it.
I actually saw two kids playing in the mud, and they waved at me as I drove by. And I said, you know what? Everything they say about this place is true. here's my worry is that, yes, there's the gun thing. There's whether fans are even going to be allowed in, you know? I don't know what's going to happen when people see a group of, you know, people carrying a certain flag walking by. How are the locals going to feel about that? Also, walk through the streets of New York. No one knows a World Cup is coming in 2 months. Nobody.
No clue.
Like, there's no signs.
Like, people
nothing.
Have no clue, and there's nothing that tells them there's a World Cup coming.
There's no signs. There's no festivities.
You see
there's nothing.
The like MARTA meeting in Atlanta when they were like, what kind of uptick in people can we expect? Like, y'all not prepared for this?
No. We went to the Brazil-France game.
Would it be like a football game? Well,
maybe.
Maybe 15 football games in one day.
Christian and I went to the Brazil-France game in Boston. And shouts to run up to 26, whatever it's called, that hosted us. I should probably know that. Thank you so much for letting us be a part of it. But here's what worried me. This was a prep game for the World Cup, basically. Foxborough was like, all right, let's see what we got to do. They made us walk along a highway with cars to a Bass Pro Shop. That's where the rideshare pickup is. And by the way, the Bass Pro Shop's parking lot was filled with Ubers. So even if your Uber called, he'd be like, yo, walk towards this sign because all the cars are honking at each other. No one's moving. We sat in an Uber for 30 minutes before we got out of the Bass Pro Shop. If that's what you're...
is going to be worse than a nightmare,
If the Senegalese fans are asked to do this, if whatever, the French fans are asked to do this, is going to be mayhem, dude. These are folks that aren't from this country. And now you're asking them to walk along a highway where cars are zooming past you. But no, there's cones. You're going to be safe because the cones, that's going to stop from, by the way, cars bigger than they have in anywhere in France. Suburbans, they don't have those. They have
They're
hatchbacks.
Literally just army vehicles rolling down the highway.
They look like police vehicles. Yeah. You know, it's just ridiculous. And I'm just sitting here thinking to myself, well, at least there's a train. Well, they're going to make the train $75 a ride to get from one place to another. Nothing in this, all of this is a major cash grab. I just hope that for the 90 minutes, we get at least good football because everything else around this is making me super embarrassed as an American.
Facts.
When you think of the U.S. men's national team strikers, you don't always think of Patrick Adjimang, but he came in the last match, scored against Belgium, looked pretty good, probably going to be our third striker until this happened. Seems like he pulled up in a match. I think he's ruptured his Achilles and he's out for a very long time and he's guaranteed to miss the World Cup. You can see the pain in his eyes. Yeah. When I think about him missing, maybe that's not the top of the list, right? We always talk about who's the best striker on the men's national team. It seems to be right now a battle between Balogun. Maybe you could say Pepe, but right now Balogun seems to have that. But you want to have more than two strikers when you go into a World Cup. With Adjiba missing, do you bring in another striker like a Haji Wright? Do you bring in someone like a Josh Sargent? Do you take a chance on someone you haven't seen? Or does this open up an opportunity to bring in an additional midfielder?
In my book, you got to bring three strikers. And for me, it's Haji Wright right now. I think he's proven he is the guy that can take that third spot. He's doing well for Coventry. Josh Sargent will be in for a shout, but I think it's got to be Haji.
I see. I'm cool with the idea of going with three. Hey, come on now. I'm cool. Really cool with that idea. You can see Haji Wright's goals here. 16 goals. Looking great under Frank Lampard. Yeah. He's got Coventry very clearly going to the Premier League. Like, to me, he's having a great season and deserves to be a part of it. A lot of times you think of yourself as bringing four. So I almost always had Haji Wright going. Mm. Do you bring in someone like a Josh Sargent who had a really rough season at Norwich, now is at Toronto? We need to see whether he gets into full form or not, whether he gets back to full match fitness and really banging on all cylinders where I could say, yes, bring in a guy who made the switch to MLS to be that fourth striker. Can he do a bid for you? He seems to never really do it in a U.S. men's national team shirt, but maybe there's a chance. Or do you say, okay, Haji Wright goes, and that replaces Adjimang, but instead of bringing a fourth, maybe we can bring in an additional midfielder, especially when we're so midfield heavy.
Yeah.
Maybe this opens the door for someone like a Yunus Musah, or maybe if Gio Reyna wasn't you know,
that
part of the team.
That was what I was going to say. I think for me, it's three strikers and then the chance we take, the maybe wild card. This is the whole campaign is wild cards for this team.
Yeah, that's
but the wild card maybe is Musa or Reyna. Like you give that last slot to someone who maybe isn't in form or but maybe could in the World Cup be a game changer.
Yeah.
Gio Reyna's the first name that pops up for me when in that case. He hasn't gotten the playing time. He hasn't been able to get any sort of regular minutes, but he still has that magic factor that how many players in the U.S. shirt can you name that have that?
He has a level that he can hit. He doesn't always hit, but the elevator goes higher than it does with anybody else, especially with the ball at his feet.
Yeah.
We don't have
the elevator's
those
not always on.
Yeah, no. I'm a little worried about the elevator. I don't want to get on it myself, but I like the fact that it goes to the penthouse. When I look at midfielders that can, like, I look at someone like maybe like a Tanner Tessman, who not the most dynamic, but going forward. But he provides such a cover for the back line at Olympique Lyon where he can slide in and be like an additional center back. So maybe that gives you the freedom to play, you know, wing backs if you want to go with the three back system, which I hope we do as opposed to this four that formulates. Maybe this gives you cover for someone like a Tim Ream if he's just ineffective.
Yeah.
Maybe it's his age. Maybe he's the focal point of the attack for other teams and it's just too much for him to handle. You can bring in someone else. It gives you the midfielder position is like maybe an Aiden Morris makes it, who I love his ability to hold the ball. I love his ability to shuttle the ball forward. And he does things that don't end up in the stat sheets. And it's so frustrating because what he does is so essential. He reminds me of like what Darlington Nagbe was able to do in MLS. And clearly they learned from each other, or he learned from Darlington, where when he gets the ball, he doesn't make mistakes. Mm-hmm. He may not make the line breaking pass. He may not make, you know, the outstanding, you know, Tyler Adams-esque stop of an attack to break it down. He may not do those things, but when he gets the ball at his feet, he's able to turn and he's able to make the right move. And if he doesn't make the right pass, he shuttles it back and we can restart. Yeah. We don't lose possession when Aiden Morris is in. And that to me is an intangible in a World Cup where we're probably not going to have that much possession, where maybe that's something like that is good to have.
It feels like we should probably have already known who the guy was going to be to slot right in, but that we're confused because we're confused about how Pochettino is going to play. I don't think anyone really knows for sure.
Absolutely.
And there's been so much experimentation. It's like, well, he could bring a midfielder.
Yeah.
He could bring a striker. He could bring a fourth goalkeeper.
Yeah, we don't
Who
know.
Knows? Who knows?
We have no idea. And I guess this brings up a good point because you obviously, you know, you have your eyes on Serie A, right? And I tend to watch Juventus matches whenever they're on because I want to see Weston McKennie.
Yeah.
And what I've seen from Weston McKennie, and we've talked about it ad nauseum on the show, is his versatility to me seems almost like a crutch for his manager because it's like, well, just put Weston in that position and he'll cover for this injury. Maybe that's actually a benefit for us. Maybe we could say, you know what? We don't have a striker that's going to be the fourth striker, but do we need that when we can move Weston McKennie a little bit further up the pitch and now he can play as a striker, which we've seen him play at Juventus. Yeah. And he could cover that for 10, 15 minutes at the end of a match when everyone else is gassed and his engine is still going. And now we can bring in a midfielder that can solidify the defense a little more, or we can bring in a winger that's going to be much more active on the right wing.
Yeah.
Or Yunus Musa is a tough name because I believed in it so much. I believed in him so much, and we haven't seen it flourish anywhere.
Yeah.
And even he, I don't think, knows.
He's like, it's he and Weston to me are side by side in two cases of how it could go really well if you're a versatile player, or how it can go really wrong.
Yep.
Weston has somehow been able to manage for it. It's the Weston McKennie cycle, I call it. New manager comes in.
We don't need you.
Doesn't start. We don't need you. Season goes poorly. Weston comes in. Oh, we need this guy.
Yeah.
He's our most important player. New manager comes in.
Yeah.
Cycle starts all over again.
And look,
but he's adapted, Weston McKennie. Yunus
3 years in a row, he's been told he's out of the plan.
And
he's earned his spot
every
year.
Back.
Yunus Musa doesn't have that confidence.
No,
I don't see it in him.
He doesn't have a what is his position?
Yeah.
You would say, I don't know. Is he an eight? Is he a winger? Is he a six?
I'm not flexing here, but I spoke to someone who's at a very high level in Italy for player development, like with a club.
Mm.
And I asked him about Yunus Musa. I was like, oh, what'd you thought about Yunus Musa? I can't even believe I'm talking to this guy, to be honest with you. And he said, you know, it's not a good sign when you're a central midfielder and you're being asked to play on the right. That's like hiding you.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, like that's like in baseball if like they put you in right field. Like no one hits there.
Right.
We're going to be able to hide you. And he said, yeah, exactly like that. putting you on the right or on the left kind of is saying you don't have the capability of making decisions in the middle of the pitch. And that scares
you. You know what the elite level of that is? Fede Valverde. Because they don't trust him to play center mid. But they do trust him to run a lot on
because
the right side.
Because he shines when he gets asked on the right. And he scores golazos when he's asked. Every goal he's ever scored is a highlight.
If that's what Musa has to be, but he doesn't have that.
Or maybe he hasn't shown it yet.
Facts. He's still relatively young, which is wild. I don't even think he's 25 yet.
He's young.
Yeah.
And why go Atalanta when Gasperini's not there? When Gasperini knows, dude, he makes players look good on the wing, man. So for me, I hope someone like a Yunus gets a shout. I'm sure whoever's watching or listening right now has like, oh, what about this name? What about that name? To me, maybe this also adds like the thing that Diego Luna needs to get on the pitch to get real minutes, not just be a part of the squad. Or maybe someone like a Max Arfstein or a Sebastian Berhalter. Maybe this versatility gives this Patrick Adjumang being out gives Pochettino the ability to go, you know what? Let's take a chance on a player that is a tiny bit versatile on this side or over here, and we're going to be able to use them a little bit more. So for me, maybe there's a silver lining to this unfortunate injury.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Patrick Adjumang, who I don't think a lot of people really believed in when he went over to Europe, and he's proven there's something about him. I look at him, and I remember when I was having a conversation with a Rangers fan many, many years ago when Mo Adu was there, and they said, he's not a footballer. He's an athlete that learned how to play football. Patrick Adjumang reminds me of the same thing. He's someone who's like so physically empowering. He can figure out on the pitch where to be for the right move, and he makes these decisions that end up being amazing goals. But when I look at him, I don't sit there and I go, that's a guy who literally from a youth was like, I'm going to be in the middle of the pitch and do this. You know what I mean? And Mo Adu, I think, was the same way. I look at Adjumang this way. He was like, yo, this dude is a baller and knows where to be and somehow just has the confidence to say, like, yo, I'm going to stay here. And it works out. And I'm like, yo, I was like mad that you were standing there, but I'm glad because there's a goal tally. When him being gone is upsetting because he proved to the world he deserved that spot.
Yeah, it's the worst possible time, too. Like, especially after everything he's been through, to finally get the move to Europe, prove yourself in Europe, get the
at
shot
a lower
to go
level,
to the
by
lower
way.
Level to then get the shot. Chance, real chance to go to the World Cup and get injured. I feel so bad for him, man.
I'm gonna say a name that his trajectory is what I thought was gonna happen to Daryl DK. Remember Daryl DK?
Poor guy, dude. Talk about injuries.
Injuries, man.
Man.
Just all at the wrong time, man. Really ruined it. A great opportunity and someone that we didn't really have, someone who was like dynamic, you know, up front, where Balogun shows those moments. But Daryl DK was just like, I'm gonna show you what I could do. And he would do it in those moments. So I'm seeing a lot of that now in the U.S. national team, and I'm kind of excited about it. And I'm hoping that there's like another gem, like an Alex Freeman or a Berhalter that suddenly springs up and says, like, yo, if given an opportunity, I think they're gonna take that next step. So hopefully, maybe it's someone from MLS. Maybe there's someone that we haven't heard of. There's a kid in the U9s. In the U19s, my bad. The U9s. Imagine, bring this kid to the World Cup. Jesus Christ. Put me on the list. There's a kid for the U19s. I can't remember his name now. He plays at Eintracht Frankfurt, who's balling. I think his value was 800,000 euros on transfer market. And that's what, to me, was like, oh, maybe he's a little better than I thought. If he's being already rated at a million at like 18 years old, he's an American. Maybe we bring in someone like that none of us ever heard of. You know what I mean? Right. Like, remember Jordan Morris when Klinsmann brought him up?
We don't need to go back to those.
No, we're not. Marvin Dills. What a name, huh? Thank you so much for being a part of this show, guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Thank you to the one, the only, Aaron West, everybody.
My boy.
Come on now. Bro, they don't want us to do this together. That's the problem. That's why I text him first.
They don't want us to be great.
No, they don't want us to shine. By the way, if this episode has gone off the rails, blame Aaron. It's not me.
Yeah, you can do it. I'm with that.
Absolutely incredible. Go ahead. And by the way, buy Gotham season tickets, right? Come on.
Do that.
Come on now.
Yeah.
If you're not a Gotham season ticket holder, go out and buy one right now. Yeah, dog. Shouts to your lady, of course. Wonderful job she's doing over there. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for watching. Shouts to Yahoo for having us on. You guys are the greatest. If you hadn't hit the subscribe button already, I'm gonna show up to your house.
Yeah.
Come on. Hit the subscribe button. What's wrong with you? And by the way, there's like a new button on YouTube. If you're not on YouTube, there's a button called Hype. You ain't doing nothing else with it. Okay. Mr. Beast don't need that. Send it to us. Click the Hype button. What are you doing? Come on. Again, I already know where you live. I'm going to show up to your house if you don't subscribe. Imagine what I'm going to do if you don't hit the hype button. Jesus Christ. I know where your back door is. You guys got Ring cameras by any chance? All right. Thank you so much for watching. You guys have been absolutely incredible. Aaron's like, please cut me out of this part. If you have any questions, send it to polanco@soccercooligans.com. You guys have been absolutely incredible. Thank you so much for watching. I hope all your teams lose. That's what Christian would say. Peace, he would say. And then I would say, love you guys.